We left off yesterday with almost a three-way contradiction between Gemaras. We have on the one hand our Gemara that says quite clearly that Asgaras, maybe the Shemus of the Gemara, and the Torah, the Mezuzahs, must be written Mishman. The Gemara doesn't quote anybody who disagrees with this. The Gemara elaborates upon this a little bit later on. We said it's getting about that Sofer who didn't know this halacha, made a very, very serious mistake, and he wrote the entire Sefer Torah without the Asgaras of Shema. Potentially that disqualifies the entire Sefer Torah. So din number one, loud and clear, is that Asgaras have to be written in Shema. Gemara number two is a Gemara in Masechet Gittin in the fourth parak, where the Gemara quotes one opinion, which we happen not to accept the halacha, but one opinion that a Sefer Torah can actually be written by a non-Jew. All the concerns of Psukim, of Shartim, of Safdim, of Rosh is in the air. One Tana disagrees with all that. And therefore, there's one opinion again, not accepted by Allah, but one opinion that maintains that a non-Jew can, in fact, write a Sefer Torah. And Gemara number three is a Gemara later on, the second part of the Gittin, that tells us that a non-Jew cannot write a get, because a non-Jew cannot write a get l'shma. Even if we're going to stand over him and yell and scream, oh, no, God, but write l'shma, the Gemara says, Adait the Ganashma. He's not processing, he's not doing it. And therefore, the debt will not be acceptable. So if you put together all three of these Gemaras, you have a very serious problem. So that was Reb Chaim's observation, that these three Gemaras, in a sense, contradict one another. Because if everybody agrees that you require Shem Hashem and Lishma, everybody agrees that the non-Jew can't do things Lishma, how could any town under the sun claim that a Sefer Torah written by a non-Jew is kosher? What happened to the din of Shem Hashem and Lishma? That was the question we left with yesterday. And we began to present Reb Chaim's solution to that problem. Chaim explained that the halacha of Lishma by the shavers of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not the same as writing a get Lishma, it's not the same as making matzahs Lishma, it's not the same as making tzitzis Lishma. Those are superimposed halachas that, in addition to making the matzah, has to be made Lishma. In addition to tying tzitzis, has to be done Lishma. That's a halachic Lishma. Hashem, Yichud, Kutcher, Brich, Hashem, 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 Mitzvah, whatever the Kedush, whatever you want to call that, Lishma. Those kinds of superimposed in Lishma, a Goy can't do. He doesn't have the camp, doesn't have the ability to do that. But when it comes to writing the Shem Hashem Lishma, says Reb Chaim, that doesn't mean you have to write it Lishma. What that means is you have to write it as Shem Hashem. You have to be aware, be cognizant, you're writing Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. If you thought you were writing Yehuda and you forgot how to spell and you end up without a dollar, now you have a Shem Hashem in front of you, that's called, quote unquote, Shalom Lishma. Was we gave the example yesterday, the person who doesn't believe in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he writes the Shem Hashem. He thinks he's just writing letters. He doesn't realize that's the Kedusha Shem Hashem. Says Reb Chaim, that's not a bit of Lishma. What do we call it Lishma? The name of Asud is Ksivus Askar Lishma. What else are we going to call it? But says Reb Chaim, it's not a bit of Lishma. It's a din of awareness. It's a din of cognizance. And therefore, why can't a non-Jew do that? What's the problem? So Reb Chaim. Oh, very good. Excellent. Right. It's a very, very simple kind of idea.
In the Buddha case, does that have any,
does it
still have the status of Shem Hashem that you can't erase it?
The case of which?
In the case where you meant
to write Buddha, so that's a further question. Let's say you, in fact, wrote the Shem Hashem, not the Shem Kedusha Hashem, like that case. So we know the Sefer Torah is not going to be kosher. The question is there a prohibition of Mechikas Hashem? Is there anything wrong with erasing Hashem Hashem that wasn't written in the Torah Hashem Hashem? So that's a big machlokes. So the Shach and others argue about that. That's a very serious stuff for us today, because all the halachas that we have in terms of Kavod Hashem, the fact that you're not allowed to put Hashem Hashem into the garbage, and all those halachas are all an extension of the Isra Mechikas Hashem. To actually take an eraser and erase Hashem Hashem, that's an Isra Goma Min HaTorah. That's L'Sasukev L'Shem L'Kechem. But if you don't literally erase it, you just treat it very disrespectfully, you throw it out to the garbage, you do all kinds of things that will lead to a B'Zayim Hashem Hashem. Those are all subcategories of that Isra B'Chikas Hashem. So that's the question. Do all these Yisurim apply if the Shem Hashem wasn't written the Kedushas Hashem? That's quite enough Kavina. That's a million, that's billions of dollars enough Kavina of Shemus. Whether or not so many things that are written in so many different contexts are not written in Torah Shem Hashem, that the person who's writing and printing it, he's an atheist. Instead of a person, it's a computer, whatever, different things are producing Shemus B'Kadosh Baruch Hu, that any Kavana whatsoever, is that even a problem altogether? That's already a second level of question.
Okay. So at the same level, you writing for the sake of Torah, Shem, Kedusha, Hashem, just means you have to
Just have to be aware that it's a Shem Hashem, that's it. Right. That's all. So now we have to test Reb Chaim's, in a sense, dual hypothesis. Reb Chaim is suggesting, number one, that the writing of Shem Hashem Lishma is not the same as the writing of the Get Lishma. That's premise number one. Premise number two is that a non-Jew can do that, even though a non-Jew usually can't do other things in terms of Lishma. This kind of Lishma, because it's so different, a non-Jew can do. So these are really two different premises, and only if both of these premises are correct is Reb Chaim's approach to the city correct. Either one of these falls by the wayside, then the entire Shulchan Aruch, the between the pages of Reb Chaim, is all going to be not relevant. So we have... That's right. That's his own goal. He has two pages to try to free that. And the process explains 15 other things, but that was his primary goal, to explain how do you make sense of these three Gemaras. So the Chaim, we have to test the hypothesis number one. Is it really true that the writing of Shem Hashem is so radically different than the other Gemara Lishma? How would we even go ahead and test that? So Chaim says that maybe the answer to that is a sugi that we actually spoke about. It was one of the first sugis of the year. It was defining what Lishma means in the first place. So for example, you have to write a Get Lishma. That's how we got into this whole discussion of the base to start the Masechta. You have to write a Get Lishma. What does that mean? What do you have to do in order for the get to be written Lishma? So it was a major machlokes in the Mishonim, whether you have to verbalize that you're writing a Lishma, or is it sufficient to think that you're writing a Lishma? Why would one think one way? Why would one think the other way? So remember, way back, the Rosh in Hilchos Sefer Torah quoted from Rabbeinu Baruch. And Rabbeinu Baruch wasn't sure about that very question. You sit down to write a Sefer Torah, what has to come out of your mouth and anything before you put that first ink on the parchment of Bereishis Elokim? You have to say L'shem Kiddushas Sefer Torah, or as long as closing your eyes, having your mind turned, that's also considered to be a Lishma. Or, for example, you're writing a Get. Or, for example, you're tying tzitzis, or you're fixing tefillin. Anything that would potentially require lishma, does it necessitate a verbal declaration, or is it sufficient just with the mindset? So Rabbeinu Baruch had a fascinating suggestion as to what that question should depend upon. Rabbeinu Baruch said, we find in other areas of halacha where lishma plays a role, but actually in the reverse. Namely, if you do something shalom lishma, what would the halacha be if I do something and I mess it up, I do something that I'm not supposed to do, I have in mind something that's wrong. For example, in the realm of karbanos, a person shechts a karban with the wrong mindset. Either the wrong mindset that he thinks it's a different karban, or he does it to eat it out of the proper time, out of the proper place, or the first 25 blad of a set of zvachim, he has wrong machshavos. So what is that halacha? So it can create either pigul, apostle, etc., a whole array of different sugyos that occur as to what will happen if he has the wrong karban. What does that mean, the wrong kavanah? What is he doing to have that wrong kavanah? So there's a machlokes taisa in the Rambam. Tosfos writes that the wrong kavanah of the entire Masechta Zvachim is that he verbalized it, that he said it. The guy has the back of his mind, he's thinking he's going to eat the meat next week. That doesn't register, that doesn't matter. It has to be something that you actually verbalize. And the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam quotes the simple meaning of Chazal, machash, machshav, machshav. The Rambam never ever spells out that it has to be something that's actually verbalized. So that machlokes as a bit of Baruch will probably spill over here as well. Just as the Rishonim have two different opinions as to what's called a bad kavana, so too we can have the same machlokes what's called a good kavana. When the halacha requires kavana, when I bake my matzahs, when I write again, when I fix the tzitzis, anything that requires a kavana b'shma, does it have to be a dibur or does it suffice in machshav? So we're not sure what the answer to that question is. So comes Reb Chaim and says, if you look very, very carefully at the tour in Hilchos Sefer Torah, you'll come up with the following observation. When it comes to writing the Sefer Torah proper, before that first day is gracious is written, so the tour says, Yoimer HaSoifer, he has to say, L'shem Sefer Torah. Anyone who's ever been honored to write a letter at the end of the Sefer Torah always knows, the Sefer says to you, say it, L'shem Kedusha Sefer Torah. Don't feel so bad when you write to everyone like shakes when they write their letter. They think, well, the $80,000 project is dependent on me. If you look carefully, the letter was written before you even started. No soap is ever going to trust you to write that letter. The letter halachically is really there. It's filled in a little bit. The width of the letter, a little bit of ink is put on just to make it look a little bit nicer. But the etzem kedushas, that letter is really there. We would have to do it. It would be a very, very risky proposition to have just every Tom, Dick, and Harry writing letters in a Sefer Torah. Sometimes people who you're honored to write letters in a Sefer Torah, that's not even where it's from. And if a person is not a Sefer Torah mitzvah, that's a serious question whether we can write a letter in a Sefer Torah. I don't want to be much of a laz at everybody, but sometimes people, you know, the mechaber a lot of people, They're still Jewish. No one's checking yichus when people are starting to fill the letters in the Sefer Torah. So the reason why we're not so worried about it is the Sefer Torah is probably kosher anyway, even before the little TV drop ink was placed at the end. But anyway, getting back to that story. So come to tour the Yiddish Sefer Torah, right? Before you start writing anything on Sefer Torah, say, scream at the top of your lungs, Yom HaRashem through Sefer Torah. Then the tour continues and says, and by the way, every time you get to Shem Hashem, when you get to the middle of Sefer Vayikra, Vaydabar, Hashem, Rosh Leimar, don't forget, says the tour, when you're writing that Shem Hashem, have in mind that you're writing the Shem Hashem. So come to Chaim and says, wait a second, the tour is inconsistent when it comes to the writing of the Sefer Torah. So we insist on speaking out, verbalizing it, say it orally. When it comes to that additional level of simply just having the Shem Hashem being written, the Shem Hashem, that the Torah is makel, that he said, no problem, you don't have to scream that out in your mind, that's good enough. So since Reb Chaim, I don't understand. You want to say that Lishma always needs to be a verb, good. You want to say Lishma suffices with Machshava, it's also good. You can't have a cake and eat it. You can't say that vis-a-vis the Sefer Torah proper, you need Dibur, and vis-a-vis the Shemus, so you know, what's the answer, what's the distinction? Says Reb Chaim, the answer is very simple. When we're dealing with superimposing a halacha of Lishma, I'm baking the matzahs, I'm writing again, I'm fixing the tzitzis, I'm writing the Sefer Torah proper. So that is derived from the sugyas of Machshavas and Kachim, and that means Dibur, that means Dibur Mamash. When it comes to writing the Shem Hashem, says Reb Chaim, that's nothing to do with Lishma. We call Lishma, what do you do? We have nothing else to call the sugya, so we call the Ksivas Askarab for Lishma. But it's not really a din of Lishma, it's simply a halacha of cognizance. I think we're good, right? Okay. So I guess the emphasis of Reb Chaim. So comes Reb Chaim and says, when all we're trying to accomplish is simply to be aware that you're writing the Shem Hashem, I've been aware. I'm aware. Where do I have to be aware? In my mouth? In my head. I'm aware. I'm 100%. I'm on board. I know that there's a Shem Hashem. That's good enough. So Reb Chaim says that nuance, the halacha, the two different presentations of the Torah, highlights this whole Shul Torah, that the Shema of the Sefer Torah, tzitzis, tefillin, etc., matzah, that is not the same din as the Shema of Sivis Nesakos.
So but Reb Chaim is, yeah. Then it comes out that when you write the Torah itself, you do need the Shema. So how can a guy write a Sefer Torah?
So that's that one day in the Gemara that says that a Sefer Torah doesn't need the Shema. That's exactly that Tana that says that there's one possibility that a Sefer Torah written by a guy is kosher. That Tana holds there's no drashuk shayach b'saftum, and that Tana also holds that a Sefer Torah doesn't have to be the Shema. Reb Chaim's assuming even if a Sefer Torah doesn't have to be the Shema, the askaros for sure has to be the Shema. But the din of askaros Shema is not a din of the Shema; it's a din of kaddish. But Reb Chaim only solved half the problem. He only proved one of his parts of the theory. What about the second half? Namely, why should a goy be able to do this? Call it lishma, call it kindness, call it kavana, call whatever you want. At the end of the day, the Gemara says akma daita the nashik living. That a non-Jew just doesn't think in these terms. A non-Jew doesn't register these halachas, and therefore, when a non-Jew writes to get, it's no good. The same should be true. The non-Jew writes the Shem Hashem. It's also no good. What does it help me to say this razzle dazzle shtickle Torah of Lishma, not Lishma? That's the base Spanish shtickle Torah. When he asks John, do you have in mind this? You know what you're talking about. So he doesn't have in mind anything. So how does Reb Chaim shtickle Torah by changing the nature of the halacha of Lishma by Askaras? How does that solve the basic problem? We have to go back to the drawing board and understand what the non-Jew can and cannot do and why. That Gemara Maseches Gittin may not spill over to the writing of Askaros. Let's go back to a moment to the fourth of the Gemara Makamos, when the Gemara asked the question, why can't the non-Jew write a get and have Yisrael Omer Gavah? If it works for a Katan, why can't it work for a non-Jew? So the Gemara answers in the fourth of the Gemara Makamos, the second line, that a non-Jew, he's doing things for himself. He's not doing it for you. He's doing it for himself. And therefore, it's no good. What exactly does that mean? So Rashi sticks in a word into this, interpreting this phrase. Think of the Rashi. So first of all, Rashi explains, this is not a kid. It's not an 8-year-old who's actually listening to you. It's a 35-year-old non-Jew who's doing whatever he wants. The Avamish is Elmalikin. Even though the Jew is yelling and screaming and begging him and saying, please, please, do the Shema. Rashi has one word, Shema. Well, it doesn't say the word Shema. What does Shema mean? Maybe. Ulai. It's possible. Shema hu gomer belibo l'shem achir. That maybe the non-Jew is not listening. Why? He's smarter than you. He thinks he knows what to do. Don't tell him what to do, the non-Jew says. I made it. We don't know for certain that he's not listening. It could be he's a 50-50 chance that he's listening to us, but it could be that he's not. Aval katan, anybody that asks, a katan, a child, he doesn't think in his own terms. As we mentioned yesterday, of course, when we tell our 8-year-olds to do something, of course, they do. Whatever we say, of course, that's what they're doing. The 35-year-old non-Jew doesn't listen, but the 8-year-old kid does. I know, maybe in today's world it's benafechu, but whatever it is, the non-Jew is not listening. But Rashi's stuck in that word Shema. Maybe he's not listening. What is the significance of that word Shema? So comes Reb Chaim already, before Reb Chaim already made this observation, that the Gemara is not making an absolute statement that this get is possible. What the Gemara is saying is that we're not sure the get is possible. Now, actually, it's getting, it's almost worse to have a suffix possible get than a vadi possible get. Because the Kohen divorced his wife in a way that the get is totally bottled and bottled, it's meaningless, it's worthless. So they didn't register, he remained married to her. If the Kohen divorces his wife for the get that ends up to be a suffix possible, he's in a pickle because he's not, she's not divorced. On the other hand, now they can remain married. It's a suffix grusha. So Rashi said a world when he said that's the Shemu government. So to put this into our terminology, what Rashi is basically saying is that the chisor in this get is a mitzius type of a suffix. It's a practical concern. We don't know what's inside the head of the non-Jew. Lu yitzuyu, we had a way to test and a way to tell whether the non-Jew is listening to us or not. If we really had a way to somehow understand what's going on in the deep recesses of his mind, we'd be okay with it. There's nothing per se objectively halachically wrong with the non-Jew creating the Shema. He could create the Shema if he wanted to. We just don't know whether he wants to or not. That's the way Rashi sizes up the sugya. It's a problem in Mitzias.
The Shema opens up another problem on the other side. Even if the Jew, Shema will also be a problem if you don't know if the person is.
Okay. So we're going to see in a second. How this makes for love.
Does that imply he says the words or only this?
So it could be, even if he says saying it out, so you wonder, why don't we apply the rule called Devar Mishu Belev Eidim Devar? That's a whole other loaded question. If a person says something, and then, that's what you meant to say. A person says something and they may be thinking something else, we usually ignore what they're thinking. So somehow why that doesn't process here? Why don't we just have the non-Jew say it? That's a good question. Why in fact, that wouldn't work here? But in contrast to Rashi, who says that the concern here is a Shema, it's a Metzias problem, it's not rooted in the world of the Beis Medrash. It's rooted in the world of psychology. Like I always say in yeshiva, and I want to give a marshal, I say, is this a pre-3 o'clock issue or a post-3 o'clock issue? Only because in yeshiva, they spend it until 3 o'clock, she has the 3 o'clock, then English starts after 3 o'clock. So according to Rashi, this is a post-3 o'clock. This is not a halachic, assumption. It's just mitzvahs. We analyzed 10 non-Jews. We interviewed the psychologists, and they all told us we can't really figure out whether this guy's serious or not serious. So we have a Matthias problem. So therefore, the halacha has to reflect that Matthias problem. Hopefully, the problem is rooted in psychology. The Rambam, however, doesn't seem to say this way. The Rambam seems to present that, and the time is a long, try to prove how we see it in the Rambam. But the Rambam seems to present that this halacha that a non-Jew can't write a get because he can't pull off the Shema. It's not rooted in Matthias. It's not a post 3 o'clock halacha. It's actually a pre 3 o'clock halacha. It's a din. It's a halacha that in order for a person to create a lishma, you have to be in the parsha of that mitzvah. You have to be included in that parsha. This has to be something that halachic speaks to you. Creating a lishma can only be done by certain people, only people who are b'teiras, people who are in the parsha. So if a get speaks to you, then you can try lishma. If a get doesn't speak to you, why doesn't it get to speak to the non-Jew? Goyim don't have gittin. Goyim don't have kedushin for that matter. Goyim have marriages. There is a concept of an eishes ish. One of the arayas from B'nai Noach is eishes ish. But the concept of a non-Jewish marriage and a non-Jewish divorce is radically different than a Jewish marriage. There's no kedushin between John and Mary. They live together as husband and wife. She becomes an eishes ish in the world of B'nai Noach. And somebody else is bizarre. That's a violation of Gilead arayas. But they became husband and wife, not through any process, not through any ceremony. There's no sweet kedushin. They're living together. That's what the Gemara comments on the pasuk in separation. The Hebrew ulas baal. And Abimelech takes Sarah. The pasuk says, she's the nation. She says, why be ulas baal? So the Gemara says, ulas baal yesh lehem. They don't want the whole concept of the kedushin. That's a gift given to the class of Makadosh Abisod, the kedushin. That has nothing to do with non-Jews. That's why the Rishami says that if a non-Jewish couple wants to separate, So the concept of writing a get is also meaningless. Writing get. Get is a parasha. It was given to the Klal Yisrael. So how, in fact, does a non-Jewish couple separate? So after Gidul HaLacha, let's say Mary was married to John for the last 20 years, and now they want a divorce. So how do you do that exactly? What's the? There has to be some kind of halachic mechanism to do that. It's not a get. So the Rishalmi quotes two opinions as to what to do. So one opinion the Rishalmi says is that we just part ways. He says, goodbye. He goes his way, she goes our way. They're no longer the Hebrew as well. They're not living together as husband and wife. So the man, she becomes a lachli, a divorce, she can go marry somebody else. And the other opinion the Rishalmi says, no, is that there's no way to break up that marriage. So, until death do they part. There's nothing, you can't do anything about it. That the marriage is there, there is no halachic mechanism to break up the quote unquote non Jewish marriage. So it's interesting, we'll have the Alpha Dollars, but those are two opinions in Rishawi. That was the machlokes between the Catholic Church and the Muslims. That the Catholic Church, so, I mean, officially it was till death do they part. There's no, they don't have a mechanism for divorce. By the Muslims, you go to the judge, the judge says, good, you go your way, he goes, oh, she goes, oh, sure. There's nothing, there's no procedure for it. There's no written shtaras for Gittin. So the bottom line is that the parasha of Gittin doesn't apply to Goyim. So that's what the Rambam says, that how could you create Lishma? You can't create Lishma to somebody that doesn't speak to you. That's the reason why Akal is enacted after Goyim. So we have a major machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. Wherein lies the problem? What is the deficiency of the non-Jew writing again? Is it because we think he can't pay attention? Or is it because halachically he's mufra, luckily he's out of bounds? Doesn't this parasha speak to him? Bamela is out of bounds. So, my nefkamina, at the end of the day, it's not going to work. It's a big nefkamina. According to Rashi, it doesn't work with Torah Safed. According to the Rambam, it doesn't work with Torah Zvadai. It's not that we don't know whether the guy's paying attention. The guy's paying constant attention. The guy's very smart. He's a lot smarter than the 8-year-old. He knows exactly what to say. He's thinking. He has a full 100% concentration, but up he did. He can't do it. But comes to Reb Chaim and says, now, this machlokes is Rashi, the Rambam is going to spill over to the case of Ksivas Eskaros as well. Forget about a goy writing a get, and forget about a goy baking matzahs and making tzitzis and tefillin. Forget about all that. Can a goy create Shem Hashem? This halacha that a Shem Hashem requires lishma, can a goy do that or not? What's the halacha? He says, Reb Chaim, he thinks it depends. According to Rashi, that a problem with the non-Jews is we don't know what they're really thinking. We don't know what their agenda is. We don't know are they listening or not. He says, Reb Chaim, we don't know whether they're listening to write it as a Shem Hashem. The guy says, yeah, oh, I know this is Hashem. I know. We don't know what he's thinking, what's he really thinking. That's the problem, according to Rashi. Psychologically, we can't get into the deeper recesses of his mind to figure out what's going on. So therefore, we have to throw our hands up and say, the get me suffering is no good, and the tefillin are no good, and the Shem Torah is no good, and the Shem is Hashem. And not to his face. He just can't do it. He doesn't have the ability to do it. So therefore, any Sefer Torah, any Shem Hashem that's written by a non-Jew is misafik, not going to be acceptable. But according to the Rambam, that the problem is not a Metzius problem. We have no qualms. He's very, very trustworthy. He's very reliable. He'll do exactly what we ask him to do. The problem is he doesn't have the kingdom to do it. He doesn't have the ability of the halacha to do it. He cannot create a lishma. Because in order to create a lishma, you have to be in the parish of lishma. So here Rambam says, wait a second. That's a halachic concern, not a Metzius concern. That's not a practical issue. That's a base medrash issue. As Reb Chaim, when does that halacha kick in? That in order to create a lishma, you have to be in the parasha. That's true when you're creating a lishma. I want to create a get lishma. I want to create matzah lishma. I want to create a tzitzis lishma. I want to create tzitzis lishma. But the halacha requires you to create a chemtza with that added dimension of lishma. Now in the parasha, you can't do it. You don't have the ability to create that lishma. Writing the Shem Hashem lishma, says Reb Chaim, what kind of lishma is that? That's a farce. That's not lishma. What is that? That's awareness, cognizance. What, the guy can't be aware of something? He's such a smart guy. He's been working with me for the last 20 years. Everything I tell him, he does. So I say to him, please write lishma. Good, write lishma. When the halacha requires a writing of an additional component, the dimension of lishma, so ain't a b'taris, if you're not b'taris, you can't do it. But if all Shem Hashem, Lishma means, says Reb Chaim, is aware that it's a Shem Hashem, the guy can do it. According to Rashi, he can't do it. Because according to Rashi, we don't know what in the world this guy's thinking about. But according to the Rabbi, we trust him wholeheartedly. It's just that he can't do it. What can't he do? He can't do a superimposed Lishma. Therefore, he can't write it yet. But to write the Shem Hashem is a day. So Reb Chaim just proved the second part of his theory. So he proved, number one, based on the tour. And again, everyone agrees to that tour. He proved, according to the view of the tour, that the writing of Shem Hashem that kind of lishma is so different than the regular dibur of lishma. It's awareness, not lishma. And that's why there's a difference between dibur versus machshava. That was proof number one. And then we combine that with the Shibbutz Rambam, that Akhama, that Rashi doesn't mean like Rashi Mitzius, it means in an halacha. And therefore, that halacha doesn't spill over, doesn't carry over to Shem Hashem. So when you put both of those Shibbutz Torahs together, it took Reb Chaim 5 pages to do that, but if you put both of those Shibbutz Torahs, you put them together, then you come to the following conclusion, that a non-Jew can, in fact, write Shem Hashem Lishma. Stop nothing wrong. There's nothing stopping a non-Jew from writing Lishma. Therefore, as long as you subscribe to that Tana's view in Gittin, that a Sefer Torah doesn't have to be Lishma, we can't say this because we pass in Sefer Torah itself has to be Lishma. But if you go down that route, that there is no halacha that Sefer Torah needs Lishma, there is no requirement of Shabbos, none of that is really true according to that Tana. What's true is Shem Hashem has to be Lishma. Good, non-Jew can do that. Ah, you can't write a get. That's right, it says Reb Chaim. Get Luchud and Shem Hashem Luchud. And the proof positive is the two are writing a get needs dibur, like a writing a Sefer Torah, writing Shem Hashem suffices with Machshava. So that was the, I left out a few of the riots and a few of the elaborations, but the basic thrust of Reb Chaim in terms of our sugya, so we presented, we just concluded presenting right.
Isn't the Lishma by get closer to the same as the Lishma for Shem Hashem? So no, you're not
saying
the Shem
Mitzvah's getting. Right, you're saying it's the Shem Isha Plindus. That's much closer to the Lishma model of Sefer Torah. Yeah? It's closer to, it's not closer to Ascaris. It's closer to writing the Sefer Torah proper. It's closer to the model of superimposing the Lishma. It's much closer to that. You're right. It's not Lishem Kedusha. That's true. But if they're saying it's the Sittis, it's also not Lishem Kedusha Sittis. It's to create Lishem creation of the Heft of Sittis. There's no Kedusha of Sittis. So when I bake matzah, there's no Kedusha in the matzah. But Lishem, the creation of the Heft of the Sittis, of the matzah, of the Heft of the Get. The definition of the Heft of the Get is a piece of paper written for Reuben and Rachel.
I understand. According to the Rambam, I understand that you need to have a kelim, and the Goy doesn't have a kelim. But what happened even further, therefore, that he does have the kelim to be cognizant of Shem Hashem. Maybe it's possible that
according to the Rambam, there's no chisaron cognizant. According to the Rambam, a goy listens to everything we say. The guy's been working with me for 50 years. He does everything I say, and he has the kelim to do it. He doesn't have the halacha. So that's Reb Chaim's breakthrough. Reb Chaim says that halacha, that I have to be the parish of something. That's a halacha when I'm trying to create something. When I'm trying to create a cheft of the same time. I'm trying to create a cheft. Hashem, Hashem, I'm not creating anything. I'm just simply aware of what's going on. I'm aware of what's going on. That's good enough. That's the breakthrough of Reb Chaim. So the whole part of getting back to that story, how do we get onto the story in the first place about the Shemus Makadosh Baruch Hu? It all started with that sofer who made multiple mistakes. And mistake number two is trying to correct mistake number one. He was supposed to write the Shem Hashem. He wasn't looking at the Tikkun too carefully. He thinks he's supposed to write Yehuda. He's about to write Yehuda, then he forgot to write the Dalel. And now by golly, he's got the Shem Hashem. So the Gemara says it's not going to work. So the Gemara says, okay, it's possible the way it is because the Shem Hashem wasn't written in Shema. I got that. Fix it. What's the big deal? Just fix it. Take something and write over it and join. It's not so simple. So one Tana Rebbe says you could do that, but we possibly you can't do that. Why can't you do that? So the Gemara had two different reasons why you can't do that. So one reason is the second writing is not going to accomplish anything because it's a ksav gam ksav. And this is part of our general sugya. When something was already written and now you want to write on top of it, that's not going to fly. That's a chisara. That's a deficiency of a ksav gam ksav. I was in Sadak Kedusha not that long ago, and one of my Talmidim, when one of the witnesses signed the marriage license, they signed on the wrong line. They signed where the chassam was supposed to sign. Lots of flagging about how to try to correct that without the spot to be determined. We'll see when it gets sent back. But if I get it back from the clerk in a few weeks, I know that what we did didn't work. So my initial reaction is no big deal. Let him write over. The other, who saw his signature? So I said, Savagam Iksav Shaila. So I said at the time, I don't know what the city of New York's chak is of the Sugi of Savagam Iksav. So I don't take any chances. But in theory, that's what's going on here. I'm going to write a second Savagam first. It's not going to work. So that's the simple reading of the Gemara why it doesn't work. Then the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe the reason why it doesn't work is for a totally different reason. Because the Shem Hashem doesn't look very nice. And it doesn't, it's a chisaron of Zekeli Ganveyu, Hidur Mitzvah. That's the reason why you can't just right over. Because the whole Sefer Torah is going to be one, you know, one type of ink, and then it's going to be a second coating of ink. It's going to look very, very funny. And therefore, that's the result of Zekiel ben Deo. So we have to take a stop for a moment and say, wait a second. Zekiel ben Deo, it's not so nice. That puzzles the Sefer Torah. That's a whole other loaded dimension of the sugya. Hopefully that's Shabbat Friday. We'll pick up this part of the sugya. Is that if the whole reason why I can't just rewrite over the letters is just simply a detracting from the beauty of the Sefer Torah, who said that a non-beautiful Sefer Torah is puzzle? That's a big, big jump. I'm going to show you that from tomorrow. We'll go back to that. Did you get my notes tonight?